Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Oh, hello, welcome back. Episode 18 of Falling Forward with Dan Lasak. I'm recording this intro literally minutes after recording the intro to the last episode, because this is part two of the chat with Look Mum No Computer, aka Sam Battle. Now, the way we recorded this on the day, we actually recorded a long chunk, and then we thought we were finished, and then came back for more. So you're going to get the end piece of the last one, and then the additional chunk. I'll make it clear. I'll come back and say, this is part two of part two. You can tell when the transition happens. We're suddenly eating chocolate bars. But it was kind of interesting how we thought we'd said everything we wanted to say, and then all of a sudden we had more. Maybe that bit of relaxation that happened right when you finished something spurned some new ideas. Well, I don't know. I don't know how creativity works. That's why I talk to people about it on a podcast. But I'm going to get out of your way. You know all the value extraction stuff. Patreon.com/DanLasak, DanLasak.bandcamp.com, etc. Subscribe button, all that. Check out Sam's website, lookmumnocomputer.com. And let's get on with it.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The no computer thing, like that, where does that come from?
Yeah, well, I mean, it came from, I don't know, there was a lot of, my feeling that I wanted it, my struggling was the idea of having the laptop and performing on the laptop.
Yeah.
I just, as a musician or somebody who looks at it, it's different to a guitar, because or a guitar, you can start kind of seeing the movements and how you're directly affecting what is, what you hear is what you see, kind of.
Yeah.
And with I was struggling with that, so I was like, how do I do this in a way that is more visual? People can see the changes as
it comes. So my way of dealing with that was to keep the computer, but to bring in obvious things. So, I know on like the second album me and Pip did, I didn't play the MPC anymore.
Yeah.
I played the drums.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
Not actually the drums. I had drum pads
and
to hit with drumsticks, and people could like see that.
Yeah, yeah.
They could understand that. But that was still just triggering my MPC.
Mm.
It was still exactly the same
thing. But it's visual.
Yeah.
And that's really good.
And that was like, that's the thing that I think people with electronic music forget, especially laptop musicians, is you still need to sell the show.
Yeah.
Like, and no matter how complex an idea is, no matter how cool what you've done is, if the audience don't understand that you've just done something fucking cool, if you don't show them that you've done something cool, they don't know. They just think that's backing track or whatever. It's why I use chaos pads live, but I don't use them in...
You can see it.
It's fucking obvious, and it's really bright colours and all that. It's just obvious that I'm doing something with it.
Yeah, yeah.
The beatboxer, Beardy Man, he has this big rig of iPads and stuff. But he has the almost the opposite problem, that he's built this rig that does so much and is so powerful that it's easy to forget that that initial oosh was out of his mouth. Definitely electronic music is progressing ideas, like pushing different ways to perform.
Yeah, different ways. But there's the other opposite, completely opposite end of the spectrum. I saw, so the guy just over there, the Igloo Ghost guy, he does he does sort of the opposite. So he has a real strong...
Right over there, he's not just standing in the room
He's actually on another couple of walls behind, but he's got this visual, he's got a really interesting visual thing. So it's more like you're going to see... the cinema thing. Basically, it's about somebody hacking his computer. He's like, he's got the computer here, the music's playing, and he's like, and in the back it's like his desktop, and he drags in and he grows these eggs, like Digimon eggs and stuff, and it's just this weird kind of...
He's built a show.
Yeah, it's really entertaining and stuff, but that's on the other aspect, because his whole thing is just completely behind the computer.
Yeah,
you can see the computer screen. Much
like, so is he doing algorithmic?
No. No, he's
not Algarave.
He's doing very like complex sort of like electronic music. I'm not really sure what the actual genre is. I'm very bad with genres.
Yeah,
but you know.
I think we should be bad with genres.
Yeah,
because like if you get the genre wrong and you pick up a record and then you listen to it, like, oh my god, what is this?
Yeah,
this is the wrong thing. But this wrong thing is the wrong. Right. That's why I'm not a big fan of algorithmic created. Like playlists and all that, because it's like it's exactly what I asked you for.
Yeah.
But I don't actually want exactly what I asked you for. Yeah. The reason I've eaten frog's legs is because I said something wrong in a restaurant. The reason, and they were delightful. Then I had nightmares. Yeah.
Did you actually?
Yeah. Nightmares about a gorilla.
But they gave you nightmares.
Definitely, 100% gave me nightmares.
Why do you think?
Because I decided that. I don't know. It's because I always have the same nightmare or the same variation on the same set of nightmares.
Gorillas.
And this one was... No, gorillas was new thing. Oh, it's
different. Okay.
And it was a combination of eating frog's legs that day and the silhouette of a chair in the room that looked a bit like a gorilla.
Anyway, fuck.
And then I was running a zoo, and the gorillas. It was like arachnophobia, but if you were scared of gorillas,
what would it be? Because what is that? Is that something to do with spiders? Like the arach?
Yes.
What is it?
Arachnid.
Arachnid. Spider. Of course. So gorilla would be
gorilla phobia. Yeah. That would be fine.
Is there another fancy word? Another David Attenborough style word for a gorilla?
Simian. What are they? They're a great ape. Aren't they? Apophobia.
Grapophobia.
Grapophobia.
Wait, isn't scared of hemorrhoids.
Do you know what? I feel like the Latin name for gorilla is gorilla.
Gorilla, 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 isn't it?
Gorilla, gorilla.
Yeah, just two. Yeah, just the two. Genus and the...
Let's not have three gorillas.
Yeah. That's a band name, isn't it? Gorilla, gorilla, gorilla.
It must be. We've rambled off.
Every time.
But I think we've got better at it.
Gotta love it.
We talked about live a minute ago about the reason why you moved away from a computer being that idea of performing from behind a laptop's kind of boring, kind of not challenging. How much of a pain in the ass is it, though, having the wall of modular that you take with you and all this?
I just remembered I've seen you live and I've completely forgot.
No way. Where was
Where
that?
Where was it? Frank Turner.
Wembley. Yeah. We didn't start with Antiques Roadshow that night, sadly. We used to.
Did you actually?
Yeah.
Are you for real?
For a good 2 years, we used to start with.
Oh, that's mad. I didn't know that.
And then for a short period of time, we started with a Pokemon theme.
Oh, really?
But that was about six shows. I wish we had that. It's cold outside, no kind of atmosphere.
Yeah, a woman knows more or less.
So live.
Sorry, carry on. I just came out. Yeah, so live. I'll stop taking you on tangents.
Oh, no.
the thing is with live is I've always known live to be difficult and a pain in the ass because I've been in bands. Drum kit, amplifiers, all that crap. It's always been an ordeal. And it's not like you've got electronic equipment and stuff.
Yeah, I built it very particularly that it was to be as easy as possible. Like we could line check at a festival.
Yeah.
If we were on in 25 minutes and we'd only just arrived, I could get on, get set up and be line checked. And be performing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've got it set up to be like that.
Yeah.
Like if I have it set up so, like, when it is ready, it'll take me 5 minutes.
Mm.
But, like, because it goes in, it always sounds the same wherever you go because of the mixer.
Makes sense. Stuff.
But, like, I've figured out how to make, because there's nothing worse than, you know, the guys are like, or anybody just gets out a pedal, pops it on the table.
Yeah.
It's like, oh God, you need to sort that out. But like, just coming from the idea of having so many things and carrying it all. And then, I got kind of addicted to the pain.
Yeah.
I did a gig with I think it was just one of those boxes. Still a pain in the ass to carry on the bus, but I just felt something's lacking.
Yeah.
You know, it's a pain, but it's a necessary
but
thing.
But it's no more of a pain than, touring with a full band. And
except all, there's less people.
But there's less people. You know. You can't fly anywhere.
No, that's a pain.
So you're going to Europe later this year.
Yeah, got to drive completely.
Got to drive.
But the thing is, the problem is that, I mean, I'm catch 22 is like, people are going to be coming to see that stuff. So I can't really get a gig and play it somewhere and fly over with a...
And it makes sense, yeah. Like, place, a lot of your following have come from that YouTube crowd.
Yeah,
so they're going to expect some variation.
Yeah, yeah.
But I suppose to a certain extent, you carry them with you. They know what to expect because you're talking about...
Yeah,
shows and stuff beforehand.
Maybe I could be like, I'm going to make an America tour setup, and then like,
or you could just make mad cash and just go over on QE2.
What's QE2?
It's the Queen Elizabeth II. It's a cruise liner.
Oh,
it takes
a number
of weeks.
Ooh.
To get across to
Damn.
America. I think it goes New York to Portsmouth.
Okay.
I think it's Blink-182. What was it? Travis Barker? Is that I cannot remember. There's a drummer.
Yeah, Travis Barker is the Blink 182.
I think it's him.
Okay.
So when they European tour, because he doesn't fly. He doesn't fly anymore.
Oh, yeah, of course.
For obvious reasons.
That's crazy, that, actually. Forgot about that, but yeah.
But yeah, but because they made enough money, he comes over on the QE2.
QE2.
And I think, like, this is rumour now. I think they actually take two suites. So he has a drum suite.
Oh, okay.
And they actually bring in, like, soundproofing and stuff. And
that's
then
cool.
He has his family suite.
The crazy thing that I found out about ferries and stuff is a lot of old people go on cruises to die. And they have... Sometimes there's so many that have died that they've got not enough space. They have a morgue.
They have a morgue and they have to store...
Store them all.
That's a nightmare.
I know. It's mad to think about that.
They just choose, that's how I'm going to go out.
Pretty much. They just drink and eat themselves to death.
Back in the day when we used to eat giant turtles, they would.
I remember that.
They would go on the boat to the Galapagos Isles, and they would have had goats on board because they're good meat source and all that.
Yeah.
And they would just lob the goats off.
Okay.
And stock up on giant turtles, or whatever they are.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't kill them. They would just stack them upside down.
Oh.
And they'd still feed them and stuff.
That's
but they,
so sad,
they couldn't.
Isn't it?
So just a stack of them. They're meant to be exquisite. Even Darwin was like, fuck me.
Oh, yeah.
These are evolved in gravy. But yeah, like, the human brain. Oh, no, we'll keep them alive and just stack them upside down.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus Christ.
That's awful.
The weird
it?
Thing about it is the Galapagos Isles, because the goats started shagging, they were decimated. Literally, like, decimated by the... Because of the goats.
Yeah.
So, all this wildlife was dying out. So, I think it was in the 70s, or maybe the 80s, they went to war with these goats. Literally, like, had to mass murder.
Oh.
So, initially, just shooting them on sight. Then they were, like, flying around in helicopters to pick off the ones that this. And then, when they couldn't find any more, but they knew there were more, because goats are, like...
They blew it up.
They blew up the whole island. No, they would then bring in goats from outside, like stealth goats or whatever, and put trackers in them. And just let them go on the island.
Oh, okay.
And they goats are really social, so they will eventually find each other. So that goat stops wandering around randomly, once it starts going back to the same place every night, they know where some goats are, and then they'd go murder them.
Oh my God, that's pretty heavy.
But that's us
digging humans. A hole. How do we solve it? More death.
I think I bring that up every time I get an opportunity to talk about it. I don't know why. There's a podcast called Radiolab. Listen to the Galapagos Isles episode of Radiolab to find out that and a story of a tortoise who wouldn't shag. But on that, I think we've talked about stuff. I might need to edit this one a little.
Yeah, cut it through.
Yeah, I don't. But that sounds like effort. Could just put it out as the raw studio tapes.
Raw. Raw, man. As Irish
but yeah, accents. Is anything you need to plug? Look, Mum, no computer, YouTube.
Check out my YouTube if you're interested in all of this talking and machines. If you don't know what they are, then you should probably have a look at them because they'll... Probably won't make sense still.
I'm going to take some snaps on my phone just I can, when I post about it, people are like, oh, I see. But yeah. All right, let's just hang up.
Bye.
You hang up. You hang up. So this now is the bit where we thought we'd finished and then we had to start recording again. You might notice some difference in audio. Hopefully I've managed to get it to sound the same, but I actually had packed away and got it all out again. So, you know, just be aware. Anyway, carry on. Talking outside and realised that we'd left out interesting conversation, which neither of us can remember this second, but we'll get to it.
It was a lot, actually, wasn't it?
We were, yeah. The wind down bit. I think what happened is we were trying to avoid talking about too much stuff beforehand and got so pent up. We got into the weird just jumping around for the first 40 minutes.
Exactly.
So
how long
took
it was? 40 minutes?
That whole thing was an hour and a half.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Flies. Flies. Yeah.
But I'm going to edit. I'm going to have to edit. So you were saying outside about how the longer a YouTube video is... You feel like the more...
Well, it's like social media in general. Like, we were talking about Twitter to start with, I think it went. And then you said, like, because you are quite active on Twitter.
Very active on Twitter. Yeah.
Quite a lot. In fact, to the point that I use it so little that I get notifications when you've tweeted. I don't know why. I just get notifications.
I'm special, man.
I feel special right now. I'm just like, where are my notifications? Are they not there? But then you said about Instagram, which is quite... I use it quite a lot, and it seems to work. My stuff seems to work on that because it's bright colours and stuff.
Yeah.
It's quite a vacuous thing. You're just flicking through, you know, just those are random. It's so difficult.
Well, yeah, Instagram is the art of making something that makes someone pause for longer than it makes.
For 2 seconds.
Yeah.
That is a success.
Yeah. Which is weird, though, because, like, making a long-form video is like a craft, and then you've got to try to... pull that down to like a 30-second segment that gets people excited.
It takes an art.
If you're not big enough on Instagram, you're not even allowed to post a fucking link, which is really frustrating.
Is that really how it goes?
Yeah, I think you've probably got more than 10,000 followers on there. You have to have 10,000 followers before you can have links in your...
Swipe up!
Yeah. Well, you can't do the swipe ups, you can't do any of that until you're at 10,000.
The big 10K.
Which I sort of understand at the same time as, like, that makes it a bit less useful.
Yeah. It's at like, the start, for the beginning, it doesn't make sense why that stat is like that.
Well, Instagram has this weird problem that it didn't want anyone to leave the website. It didn't want anyone to leave the app. They just wanted you in there.
Oh, yeah, so links are bad. Facebook as well. They like, you can't put links.
Because they crush just, you on.
It's mad. There was a flick of a switch on Facebook, I swear. Like, it was maybe about a year ago. It's just that I'd started up. There was just a switch that just wasn't reaching anybody.
It just crushed everyone.
It just, yeah. I mean, from a personal thing, it was like my videos got shared loads, and then those shares were seen by loads of people. But now, even when people share the equivalent amount, it's like you get like a tenth of the views.
I think a chunk of stuff happened with the political side of things, like Cambridge Analytica, because I probably lost like 2,000 followers on Facebook in the last year or so, post Cambridge Analytica. Like, but I don't post on there very often. And I know with Facebook, they want you on there every single day, posting something and engaging. My friend Jake's a photographer, and he's got like, he has a weekly schedule around it. He has his Technique Tuesday, where he gives away a photographic technique or idea. And I think Mondays is, they share a shoot. So for us, it would be like your audience sending in tracks for you to listen to, and you're going through them, sort of thing. So, but he has like a weekly pattern.
But that's for Facebook only.
That's for Facebook. And then his Instagram is just, I don't know what he does on Instagram. But he's not on Twitter, because he's a visual artist as such, so the visual mediums make more sense to him. Even though you can post pics on Twitter, I think.
The pics, it's weird, Twitter. I was good. I don't know. It's just, I'm really bad. I'm not very literate.
Yeah.
I can't really write sentences very good, me. That's it comes out wrong. But we were talking more about, and then the thing that we were talking, like, these small pieces of chunks of things I've been, especially in, like, when we're talking my first kind of flaunt with being in bands and stuff, and working out what you want to do on social media and stuff.
Yeah.
I always thought, like, short is better. Everything's short. Everything needs to be, you know, get to the point. But YouTube is sort of the opposite, where actually it works in your favour that the view time is longer.
Yeah.
And you can make a 20-minute long video and get quite in depth. And then podcasts, it goes even further, because...
Yeah, and like people who put some structure into their podcasts as well can actually
really
do it succinctly as well, over an hour.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Do you find that, like, you get that opportunity to go a little deeper, but does that mean your audience get to go a little deeper as well? They get to come with you and ask, rather than like with the Game Boy, it's like a basic question like, has it got a cartridge in it? Obviously, it has a special one that
fancy cartridge
that have got switches on the back.
Yeah,
I don't know why they had switches. Was it, you could have 16 different things?
Yeah,
in
so
there.
You these are multi carts. That to keep the cost down, I had to use like ones that don't have the save files. These are only about £20 each, which is still bloody expensive.
But like, your audience can ask a deeper question that because you can give them.
A deeper experience. Yeah, I mean, initially the kind of building documentation. Do you know an artist called Wintergarten?
No.
He's
I'm going to say yes, though, to look cool.
Marble Machine, do you remember that?
Yes.
Big wooden spinny thing.
Okay, no, that.
And he's got a helmet on.
Familiar.
And headphones, and he's like, dunka 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 dunk, and he's playing, and it's like, there's marbles falling down from this big wooden thing onto xylophones.
No, I'm going to look at this, though.
It's the biggest, like, it's probably, like, on Facebook, it probably had 100 million views and stuff like that. Like, and
no way.
But the last year he's been building, because that one only really was good for that one performance, and it was kind of, I understand where you, like, you build something, you get the most of it, the best of it out for a video, and then it sort of kind of slowly dies.
Yeah.
Like the Furby organ is a shell of its former self. But, and I'm sorry to break your heart.
No, that's fine.
It breaks people's hearts when they're like, can we listen to it play? It's like, it doesn't really work well anymore. It's like, I didn't really build it with voltage regulation in mind, so all of it kind of burnt out slowly. But like, this guy, so he spent the last year building this thing called Marble Machine X, which is the new one. It's like, I'm going to build it really good. It's going to be amazing. And every week, he does an update that's about 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
And talks about every single little tiny thing that he does.
He's done
and his views are going up and up and up and up and up. And he's like, I think when he started this, he was probably about, it was still a big channel, like 800,000 subscribers. Now he's at 2 million or something.
Wow.
Just because of this. And you think this kind of format is like, it's going against what people, you know, fast and exciting.
Well, like you said, it's going against what the rest of social media is about short, punchy things. But it's also going against what traditional media would argue can exist. You know, your channel couldn't exist on the BBC. It couldn't exist on cable, say. Mm-hmm. Yet there are cable stations like Channel 304 on the satellite that have less viewers than you.
Yeah, that's,
you know, like,
I wonder how many viewers do these.
Well, so Sky as a entire platform has 8 million paying users.
Okay.
About. So
they pay.
Well, it depends on what package they've got and all that. But yeah, there's 8 million people in the country who have Sky.
Okay.
Which, when you start filtering that out,
oh, they get adverts as well, don't they?
Sky One and all that. There are going to be channels where you've got a couple of thousand people watching at any given time. Some of the quiz channels and all that. You think about that, like, a man fucking around with Furbies.
That sounds rather wrong, but yeah.
sounds just right to me, sir.
Okay, okay.
I've seen, and you don't know this, but there's some very erotic Furby art on the walls.
Where?
Oh, you can't see it anymore.
Oh, God.
You've got so used to it.
I've taken it away, yeah. I'm trying to see where it actually might be.
I wish there was now. There is a drawing of two Furbies standing next to each other, but that's
God knows where their arms are.
Oh, my.
Oh, dear.
But, That's the thing about, I don't like the phrase new media, but like there's so much stuff on YouTube that has a bigger reach and like gets to more people.
Yeah.
But the fact that it can exist purely off the kindness of strangers, really.
Yeah, in a way.
You know,
yeah.
Like you're funding through Patreon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the Furby organ doesn't exist without that.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
It works.
It's weird idea, though, because, like,
I find it really strange because there's an ability to have a thought, publicly do it, and there's viewers that do that. It's like you don't have to ask somebody else.
Yeah,
which is dangerous at the same time.
There's a guy I watch occasionally called, he's Tom7 on Twitter. He's Sucker Pinch on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And he's some AI thesis guy. So he's just basically doing video dissertations.
Yeah.
So I know we have video essays, but he's like another tier deeper.
Okay.
But he is like, I think you take an idea that might sound a bit ridiculous and take it to its end point. He does the same thing. Like he made a video where he managed to, instead of modifying a NES, he modified the cartridge of a NES so that he could run Super Mario, a SNES game, on the NES.
Oh, I think I might know this guy.
Yeah.
I think I might have seen it.
He does stuff like that. He has a really dumb AI that plays games, but he doesn't actually help it, doesn't teach it.
Oh, wow. That is cool. Yeah, I think I've seen that. That's
and
cool.
He's just narrating that stuff. But his content, I've watched some of his videos multiple times because I just find them fascinating.
Yeah.
But it couldn't exist anywhere else.
No.
Yet,
and it's amazing it does, because it probably wouldn't exist if it wasn't for YouTube, which is kind of going back to what you were saying before.
Yeah.
It's like, do you do this for YouTube or do you do it just for the hell of it? If I wasn't on YouTube, I don't know whether I would probably be building the same thing.
Yeah, I feel like if you weren't on YouTube, you would be like the guy who, you know, Imogen Heap?
Yeah.
Who, special gloves?
Yeah.
That's a couple of people, you know, who just make niche stuff. One of them makes a really cool dub siren.
Yeah.
That's got, you can save patches on it.
Oh,
it's
save
really
patches
cute. It's got a little so you can have multiple different dub sirens. Very clever.
That's cool.
I won't remember, but I'll send you a picture of it.
Yeah.
I won't do that.
I'll have a look, because I know that, I think I remember them talking about they're making a cheaper version or something.
They're making like a mass market glove thing.
Yeah. Were you saying that earlier, or was it?
No, I wasn't saying that earlier.
Somebody else was saying it.
But like, I feel like maybe you'd be that guy working with someone building their dreams, rather than building your own.
Your own, yeah. That's the thing. Like, you would have to find means of making money elsewhere.
Yeah.
So, and I feel like when I wake up in the morning, I was like, yeah, I get to do my idea today.
Yeah.
Do you get amazing
people wanting you to build stuff for them?
All the time.
Do you ever get to do it?
I feel really bad. Because they don't understand why I say no. I feel a bit bad, but I want to do mine.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, I offered money and stuff, but it's just, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But I want to build my things.
And you also, I suppose by building your thing, you cannot care about voltage regulation on the furry. Yeah,
you can get further and reduce that.
No, it's going to die eventually.
No one's going to die. That's the other thing about thinking about building other things is you've got to make sure it's done properly.
You've got to be super safety conscious. Well,
not even just super safety, but if you build something for somebody else, you kind of, is it still going to work by the time it's posted, sent to them? Or are they going to be able to repair it if it goes wrong and stuff? Most of the stuff, you know, I'll be getting a phone call from, I don't know, Mr. Smith. I don't know, that's an awful made-up name. It could have been more comical. You know, it's not working again. It's like, you tried, you know, changing Furby B3, I don't know.
I suppose that, yeah, it's a weird idea, like, that because you have this place to output it and make money from it, like, ultimately you have to pay rent and all that. It gives you that opportunity to make wilder and crazier things
to more, like, and I think it's, I always think that the stuff like this doesn't exist, and a lot of, I sometimes see comments about, like, why don't you do it more like the Yamaha CS80 or the Korg MS10? The thing about all of these ones is they are weighing up between functionality and affordability. And any whatever, they're parts, they're products.
Yeah.
They're not like, this isn't a product. It's not made to be weighing up between anything. So sometimes, you know.
Would you ever consider like making like the, your Uber version of like an MS-20 or something?
What do you mean, like an Uber version?
Like, not with that cost problem.
Oh, with the cost factor. I mean, like, I guess that would be it.
I suppose all the stuff you built is...
That's the fucking... I've seen that before.
No!
So when I got an MS-10 and I really wanted an MS-20.
Okay.
So I like built one. This is like one of my first projects. I just really wanted it. I couldn't afford an MS-20. I don't know why. So I built this, but it's empty now because...
What we're looking at... Hang on.
Shame you can't see it, but...
You've called it the Cosmonaut.
The Cosmonaut.
And obviously your rack is called Cosmo.
Yeah, I think this is where it came from, probably. I didn't really make that connection. I spelled Cosmonaut wrong as well.
No, you didn't. You spelled it exactly... Exactly how it was meant to be spelled.
Is it not a COS moment?
It probably is, yeah, but right. You spell it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's an MS-10.
Well, no, it's an MS-20. I just went on the internet and just got a load of schematics that weren't necessarily MS-20, just so it looked right. It didn't sound the same. It sounded awful. But it worked for a little bit, and then it became some of the first parts in that.
For the modular rig.
Actually, this one is actually, I think that was the filter from it, isn't it? In behind its beer-stained panel,
that's
covered in beer.
So I'm not going to take a photo of this. I'm going to describe it to you, listeners. This looks like a child was let free with some glue and a circuit board.
Yeah, basically.
It doesn't look like that should do things.
Yeah, I know.
But that's how things look inside most things, except often... Maybe slightly tidier.
Slightly tidier, yeah, yeah.
Because the machine did it, or some child labour put it together. Actually, yeah, so your adult labour looks like this, whereas child labour is much tidier because they have smaller hands.
But I see, I like it. But I mean, like, the thing is...
But, like, that's a working filter in my hands.
Yeah, and it just looks awful. But that was that kind of thing. Now you can see the unreliability issue. But there's that, and then, like, I need to make it... My synthesizer always breaks on tour, so I've had to start learning how to make it more reliable. So
I
put it like PCBs.
Oh wow!
So that's what it's coming like, becoming like now. Is
hold that,
proper.
Hold that thought. So when we were talking about touring earlier, that was the question I actually wanted to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Was
reliability?
Like, yeah, reliability. Are you like getting to shows and soldering? Every gig, are you having to solder something back together?
The last tour that I did, I was really, really well. I got, by the end of it, I got really well practiced at making jokes about things not working. And like people thought it was staged, but it was a different problem each time.
Because like when you work with a drummer, you've had to have a laptop on stage for the click.
Yeah, he had a laptop.
And you've said before how you've had to make that joke every night.
Oh, yeah, I had to.
When we say no computer...
Yeah, that was...
So is this professionally... Like, have you paid a company to make it? No, I've made those myself.
I've made and designed those myself. And like, there's the filter that you were just holding. There's the equivalent in there. I'm starting to build these up and stuff. But like, yeah, what you do is you just... So this is... yeah, I've got into designing the actual and manufacturing them. And this is just like... So that's a filter, the equivalent for the filter. But as PCB boards.
So have you got any, like, temptation to go down this route?
I'm sort of working on it, but I'm weighing up whether I want to or not, because also, like, from a... manufacturing is a quite a... You know, it's kind of a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm trying to weigh up my ideas. I almost
feel like it... The way I would want it to work personally, if I was you, is, like, if you were teaming up with... like another independent maker.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously, you don't want to be the one putting every single one of these together.
Well, hopefully the first step is just selling those and people put them together.
So people put them together. Because kits are a great way to learn as well. Exactly. Weirdly, that's how I learned pinhole photography.
Oh, yeah, just pop them down there. Oh, pinhole photography. Yeah.
So
Which kit did you get? Or was it just that?
It was a cardboard kit. This is 30 years ago.
Mm.
Bear in mind, I'm 40 years old. But my final work for my degree, which is a photography degree, is pinhole. Yeah, it's either pinhole or Polaroid. So I've been actually messing around in my kitchen for weeks and weeks and weeks now with trying to make my own pinhole lens for a digital SLR.
Yeah.
Which is perfectly doable. You can buy pinhole lenses, but I want to make my own.
Yeah,
because it's more fun, you know. Yeah.
Would you make it from an existing lens that doesn't really work and then just pop a?
So I'm gonna use a body cap. I've used a body cap. So the first version of it is a body cap with a hole drilled through it.
Yeah.
But you need the lens, the pinhole, to be further back than the body cap sits.
Mm.
Well, you can set it. So the way.
The focal length.
Hey, listeners. So focal length is literally distance from the film or the CCD and the hole.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the f-stop, so how much light it lets in, is that distance...
Logarithmically, right?
...divided by the size of the hole.
Yeah.
Or times, whichever one makes it bigger.
It gets twice as darker for every...
Inverse square law.
That's exactly what we're talking about.
If you want a nice wide lens with lots of distortion, you need to get it closer, but that also means you can get away with a smaller hole because the math, but it's a pain in the ass. So the first version is like a bolt and a washer glued inside there with the pinhole attached to the back of that.
Uh-huh.
And it's really funny because you can literally see, it's not quite sharp, but you can see the inner grooves of the bolt.
Yeah, it's so wide.
So I'm just working a second version where I've drilled a bigger hole and need to get it in there. But I'm trying to do it with only things I can find in my house. So I refuse to buy anything to make this.
I'm trying to, like, maybe it's... I got one that I did with just a pin.
You can do them with just a pin, yeah. Like a lot of cameras, you could literally just hold a piece of foil over it with a hole in it, and it would work.
If you move the aperture in front of the yeah, that is pan and tilt. The body stays the same, but the distance moves, doesn't it?
So, perspective. You can change perspective by rotating either the film plane or the lens plane.
That's when it looks all weird.
So, you know those old-timey cameras with bellows?
Yeah.
Most of those, where the lens and the film is, would rotate independently.
Yeah.
So that's why, like, you see architectural photographers doing that, so they can make the building... actually look how it does.
Or look massive or tiny.
Yeah, you can do the toy camera stuff.
Yeah, the weird things.
That, again, is a digression.
Okay, we digressed into
that. That's pretty impressive, though.
You just don't even realise.
So this is going to... I'm going to do some mad editing. Because we've got a lot of good stuff in it, but I think just giving people the opportunity to actually hear it.
Yeah.
But we talk about long form and podcasts, see them looping back.
Uh-huh.
People don't listen to podcasts past about the 55th minute.
Oh, really?
Mine's 55 minutes on average, and apparently I'm above average. That's what she said. But yeah, like... Because most people use them on journeys, and no one wants to. People don't want to be traveling 2 hours to work. So.
And plus, like 55 minutes, like when you have something, unless it's a film that like has such a progression, like a graph, like you do, it does make sense. You kind of, no matter how good it is, you'll get bored of
it. This is the thing with like people will always say like BBC drama, best drama, it's better drama than any other country. And I genuinely believe it's because the BBC has like 13 extra minutes to play with.
Oh, really?
Because there's no adverts. So most BBC dramas are about 55, 56 minutes.
Okay.
Most network American dramas are 42.
Skipped an ad.
So you just get that extra minute of contemplation or that extra minute of exposition that tells you the story.
That's a good point. Is there no other place that's like that's got the same...
Very few, yeah. Most even some of the... I think PBS is ad-free, but they don't really make those big things. They more concentrate on documentaries.
Oh, the documentaries.
Yeah. Maybe they're not ad-free. But I think they are. But yeah, like, there is very... It is unique, the way in which we fund it.
And it's funny, like, you think about, like, how money... This is another thing, is how money is... It's not, you know, you're seeking the cost from... Not from sponsors... But from the people, from the watchers and that.
Yeah.
That's how money and how you make money, like you were saying before, molds the format.
Well, that's the thing with, like, your YouTube stuff is, like, when you talk about liking something, pretty sure I can trust that you like it. Whereas there
Can you trust you like anything? This brain, it might be lying to you.
True, But, like, when you come across a gear-based YouTuber, say, who is doing reviews every single week, you start to realise that the people distributing Novation, maybe they're distributing someone else as well, and can you 100% trust that person is being honest to you, the member of the audience, when they've also got to make sure they keep whoever sweet?
There's a lot of things to think about with that as well, because I've had a little flaunt into that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I've always felt that I've needed to please too many people, and I've tried to shy away from all that stuff. I get emails about like questions whether I want to do some sort of thing. I usually say no because I feel that like it's skewed with my tastes and my feelings, because you're trying to please everybody and it's not right.
Yeah, it's funny we talk about sponsorships. I'm not going to say the podcaster's name because I don't know them well enough, but I found them hilarious the other day. They had you know how you get the sponsorship message, but they get the podcaster to read it, like Squarespace ads.
You know, I love those because they are sort of being allowed.
Yeah, but what I enjoyed about it was for Squarespace, the guy was like, "Yeah, so it's being sponsored by Squarespace. I've never used them. I only found out we had a website for this podcast the other day. Wife set it up. Pretty nice of her. So, yeah, use this link to give me money." And I just really liked it. But obviously, you have to show that to Squarespace.
Yeah, yeah.
So someone at Squarespace was like, yes.
Yeah.
It's pretty legit. Fine.
Is it a post and after thing?
How do you mean?
Like, so maybe, they can't check everything.
Maybe
it's a retrospective thing, and they're like, okay, we're not getting him again or something like that. But
no, because apparently, like, this was an older pod as well.
See why. I've heard ones like that before. It's like, you know, this is that time when we got to talk about Squarespace or whatever.
I think maybe it's just brand recognition. I suppose that is with something like Squarespace, when there's them and Wix and all those out there. Like, it's just the first one you go to, like Google.
Yeah.
There's loads of search engines.
.tk. Do you remember .tk?
No.
Did you ever have a .tk?
Not a clue what that is.
I can't remember. Oh, well, maybe it's too specific. It's like just an old early 2000s kind of website thing.
Okay.
You could have.
Nah, yeah.
Very old.
I used to make websites in Flash.
Flash. Yeah.
But
that was tech. All right, I'd have been like, wow, I wish I could do that. That's impressive.
And then I got bored.
Do you remember those websites that you could download HTML codes for, like things like guest books and the cursors that have got glitter,
like glittery cursors and stuff. So there's a video game that came out just recently called Hypnospace Outlaw,
mm-hmm.
which is that it's like that plus MySpace. They use weird geosites kind of websites with like glitter and horrible GIFs and stuff and MIDI generated music.
Pretty vaporwavy sounding.
It is very... What is it in the game? Chillwave.
Chillwave, yes.
Ice... No. It's something... You might not chillwave. It's ice related. Fuck! Oh, my God.
Freeze wave.
No, it's... Edit. It's cool punk. The music in the game is cool punk, Daniel. You don't know how many hours I played that game. I am embarrassed that I forgot it was called Cool Punk. You should check out the game, though. It's very good. Back to the shop,
essentially. Okay.
But they've built the whole game and the whole game's narrative around those websites.
That's kind of interesting.
But it's around an OS that you could browse the web while you sleep.
Okay.
So called Hypnos.
Oh, that's scary.
But the game is fucking great. Like, the storytelling's brilliant, and you get to know people in the community because you're going to their pages and stuff.
Oh, yeah, so it's like going back in time to MySpace time.
Yeah, but obviously it's made now.
The magical time.
But yeah, no, it's very good.
Talking about that, this is a thing because we were speaking about how much we use social media as well.
Mm.
And like try not to. Has this situation ever happened to you? Because it happened to me a couple of times that I've realised that I had to kind of stop using social media really and kind of only really do it when I absolutely had to, was dreaming in social media. It's happened to me a couple of times.
You've dreamt in social media?
I've dreamt on Facebook. That is when I was like, no more. Uninstalled from my phone.
No way.
Yeah.
I've not.
I think I've dreamt text as well.
I don't feel like I have. Maybe I'm okay. Maybe.
It's worrying.
I thought I was worrying about how much I've played my phone. But
maybe.
Like, I dream games. I try and dream video games.
Okay, wow.
I remember the first time I did it.
Playing video games or in video games?
Being kind of both. Being aware that I was in the video game universe.
Yeah, yeah.
When things like Grand Theft Auto and that, I used to. I actually,
I think I had that.
I remember back in the day when I still took chemical enhancements to my evenings.
And steroids?
Yes, steroids.
Roid rage.
I was just roiding out in the pub. But yeah, I remember like being the day after, so not really under the effect, but this guy riding past on his moped and having like the urge to knock him off and take his bike. But because that's how you get around in Grand Theft Auto Vice City.
In Reading.
But no, like, it was like really weird how it kind of bled into my world. Obviously, I wasn't going to do it, but.
That's why the problem is violence, you know.
All my nightmares are based on... They used to always be based on gigs. So get to the gig and I haven't brought the laptop.
Oh, wow.
Or get to the airport and I haven't brought my passport.
Is that from some sort of anxious kind of thing built up or what?
Yeah, just paranoia. I'm always scared I'm going to oversleep. Like, to get up today, to be here, I need like 3 or 4 alarms. Da-da-da. My girlfriend calls me from America. She woke up at 4 to make sure I was up by 9.
Oh, that is good.
She is... Well, I'm just great in bed. I'm sadly not, but you know, I like to say it. But yeah, no, like... I'm so paranoid about it. But, yeah, when we were touring, that just fear that something would put an end to it and there was no, like, backup.
End and no backup. That is the worry that it could go wrong to the point that it stops.
But the weird thing is whenever I'm going in the dream, and no matter what the situation is, no matter where the place in the world I'm in, the place I'm going back to get my passport or my laptop or whatever, is my teenage bedroom.
Oh, really?
Which was in the loft, weirdly. Once, I dreamt that I was worried about my gear and they let me go to the luggage hold. which was in the attic of the plane, apparently. Oh. And I got the lift up there, and I came out, and it was my teenage bedroom.
So what?
So weird, man. So weird. But like, yeah. So do you get very paranoid about gear breaking on stage, or have you built it in a way that you can?
No, it goes wrong all the time. I like how we did. It's like, well, you were talking, trying to remember where we actually got to.
You know what? I wasn't. I just saw a tangent there. I was
we're going off on a tangent.
We can
again.
Come back in.
I think the last gig, the last tour, it was about 20 dates or something. Maybe the last two, it was fine. I was ironed it out, but every single one, at least one, there was at least 5 minutes of, you know,
kerfuffle,
talking with the crowd and figuring it out and stuff. And I think one gig I actually got out of the soldering iron, but it's kind of like it's part of it. It's like soldering iron rock, and it was just, you know, how can we make this entertaining? And people come in and it's like, oh, I haven't seen that before. It's pretty entertaining.
That's cute.
But it's a problem. And then I played in London the last gig, and the electricity was awful. It was the top of
the venue.
Yeah, I can't remember where it was. The electricity was dreadful. Yeah. And for some reason, my synth wasn't working so I've got to figure out how to stop that.
Protect from that. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a nightmare.
It is a nightmare. And I dug myself a hole. But at the same time, I questioned, the novelty of certain things kind of help. You know,
but like, I suppose it is DIY. You've literally built.
Yeah.
So people should fucking expect it to be DIY. Shit.
Yeah, that's what
I know.
Saying.
I've been swearing in this second half more than the
more
first.
It's like
I'm gonna edit in some fucks and some poops in the first half just to get it right.
Yeah, I was watching. I was like, oh, should I swear? I was like, whenever I swore in the first half.
Yeah, I never actually have that conversation. I never have that, is there anything you don't want to talk about?
Yeah.
The reason I don't have that one, though, is because, that puts the thing they don't want to talk about into
right
their
the
mind.
Front. Yeah, right at the front. But that's another thing about the paranoia and stuff. The more you think about it, the more it just becomes your every embodiment.
I think that's part of the reason why, I don't make as much music as I used to. Because I'm just, it's all built up so much at this point in the back of my brain, that this is important.
It's important.
I need to release some music to earn some money, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, no. It's
weird. But then, how do you get out of that? It's molding your brain is slow, but...
Yeah, I'm thinking a part-time job.
Oh, yeah?
I was thinking about...
I saw this on Twitter.
Driving down. Yeah, I was thinking...
Postman
would be cool because it'd get me out of the house. But reliability-wise, I was thinking, actually, if I wanted something a bit more part-time, I've got a friend who runs a cafe.
Oh, yeah?
And I've got a friend who runs a bar. And I might just text them and say, you got, a couple of evenings or a couple of mornings a week that needs someone of my size involved in.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I can chop bread. I've chopped bread. I think it's called chopping bread.
You know, for their bread handles for the wieners in
for
German
the wieners, exactly.
Petrol stations.
No, I've worked in real places before. I've worked in a hospital laundry. I've done that.
Hospital laundering.
Yeah, working literally in a hospital.
Oh, I see.
First time I did it, I was just working on the special ironing and folding thing. The ironing machine is literally you feed it in a slot and it goes along a conveyor. So it dries, squishes, all that, all in one go. And if you're on the feeding end, easy. Just get those in there.
It's messy though, isn't it, sometimes?
Well, thankfully that is, they've already been clean.
Oh, have they? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
When you get onto the actual loading the washing machines, that's gross. This is just gross. But if you end up doing surgical loading, which is the second, I did that for 4 months, and then I did it again 4 months the next year. And when you pull a surgical sheet out and just a bit of human is on the ground, and not a recognisable bit,
just a bit piece.
It's
looks
like
a bit of Silent Hill, or is it Quake, where they blow up the people and there's
just little lump,
little polygon, like a bit of blood.
Yeah, but grosser, more smelly.
That's just
that was a good job. Filling gas bottles for Caligas.
Ooh,
that was all right.
Yeah.
You have to wear really thick gloves, though, because you can freeze your fingers off.
Yeah, that's a good one. I found that out when I was building a flamethrower organ.
It's an endothermic reaction. Yeah, not exo.
When there's a sudden release of pressure.
Yeah.
Or is it the other way
around? Something. Like, exo makes heat.
Yeah.
Endo removes heat.
Pulls it away.
Makes it go away. Did that. I've worked, been that guy at the car park where you give him the money.
Oh, really?
The guy who just sits in the booth. That was really brief. My friend Chris did it for ages. I couldn't hack it. Just sitting here.
Is there any that was so brief? Like, I've had a brief one. Like, is that a flower? The most brief job was probably flower planting. Oh, it was awful. To the point I was just like...
Like painful as well, because you got to be like...
Well, you bend down all the time. You're poking your finger and you pop in the seams like this. You're like, oh, it just lasted like 2 or 3 days.
Wow.
But like, I've been a chef. I've been a bike mechanic. I was so annoyed with my friend at the work experience because we both signed up to the Undertakers.
Oh, no way.
And he got it. So annoyed. Mate.
I don't know, J-Rocks, do you listen to this? J-Rocks is a guy from growing up who worked in the mortuary.
Yeah.
And he just embraced it. He was super pale, goth guy. I don't actually believe he was. Was that J-Rocks? I think that was J-Rocks.
Oh, yeah. J-Rocks going to listen now.
Was J-Rocks the other one? No, that's Nicky. Growing up in Essex, people's names get confused. Anyway, yeah, he like literally I don't believe he was goth before he worked in Basildon Hospital mortuary.
Oh,
yeah,
it's grim.
They got like the hospital mortuaries have like special underground tunnels just for moving the bodies about.
Well, there's one in St Martin's University in King's Cross. Used to be a hospital. Maybe I got the wrong place, but there's my girlfriend who's a artist, she's a photographer, alternate photography.
Oh, is she now?
Daguerreotype. She's actually.
Oh, right.
I don't know what she does. Loads of the crazy. She's all manners of camera things. But one of her exhibitions was in the tunnel underneath, and you get to the furnace.
No way.
It's amazing.
So cool.
Mm.
We should end.
Yes. Anyway.
I got a lot of editing today.
Yeah, you got a lot.
Boom. Hey. That's it. That's the end. End of part two. There's no part three. Well, there is a part three, though. That's private. That was our private time. No, there isn't a part three. Go subscribe to Sam on YouTube. Look, Mum, No Computer. Just go dig around and look at all the wonderful things he's made. A funny thing happens when you meet people who have made so much in such a short space of time. It does make what you're doing into sharp relief. And although I let the daily life get in my way sometimes, it definitely made me realise that I could be doing a little more, you know? So that's what I'm going to endeavour to do over the next few months. You never know, maybe you'll hear some new music from me or from me under a secret name or something, if it all turns out to be wibbly wobbly ambient stuff, as I suspect it might. I genuinely enjoyed that chat. It's just nice to meet nice people. It was funny as well. I finished that chat and then when Sam lives in the same town as my folks now. So I had to then go argue about Brexit for 2 hours with my father. So listening back on this brought back good memories from the day and then bad memories from the evening. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I do. Thank you everyone who supports, thank you everyone who listens and all that. Any retweets and shenanigans that happen, I am eternally grateful for. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time with someone else. Not going to say who it is, because I don't want to jinx it, because I haven't recorded it yet. But they're good, and you'll enjoy it. That's all I can say. Don't forget to hop over to lookmumnocomputer.com to check out Sam's stuff, patreon.com/DanTheSack to give me money, all that, you know. You've heard this 1,000 times. I've said it like 4 times today, not including all the mistakes. Anyway, you have a lovely time, and I'll see you soon.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter.
Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.